Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Good afternoon or good evening, ladies and gentlemen, depending upon, of course, where you're at, West Coast or East Coast. First thing I want to get out of the way here is we now have a website. That's right, on the World Wide Web. You know, the www dot stuff that you hear all the time. I'm going to give you the address. We just got a call just a few minutes before going on the air. And to tell you the truth, I have not seen it yet. So if you go into the website during this broadcast, you will see it before I do. I wished I could see it right now, but I cannot, at least for another 2 hours. So here it is. This is the website, http://www.telepath.com/BELIEVER. That's http://www.telepath.com/believer. One more time, http://www.telepath.com/BELIEVER. Okay, so you can zip in there and take a look and see what you see, and later on this afternoon, when I get off the radio, I'll go in there and see what you saw. It should be fun. I hear that it's really nice, and I can't wait to see it. So, folks, while you're doing that, we'll be doing this. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Thank you. listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I guess now that we're on for 2 hours, it should be the hours of the time. But since we come into each hour as a new hour, we'll keep it as the hour of the time. Does that make sense to anybody? I hope so. I hope it makes sense, because it's not good to change the name of a broadcast in midstream. The music you just heard is a little bit on the spiritual, as they call it, side. Maybe a little mysterious. Do you think? Do you think you could say that it is intriguing? Does it appeal to some part of you that you wish you could dig down and really find? They call music, or I should say I call music that affects people in that manner, Jungian or symbolic. It is functioning in an archetypical way, which means that it strikes a chord within each human being usually without fail. Those of you who have studied psychology and have studied Jung and his system of archetypes, which are supposed to be, so he says, common to all people, even though they may speak another language or live on some island somewhere and has never had contact with the rest of the world. And so the secret societies say that their method of symbolism, their secret or esoteric language, functions in much the same way. Ladies and gentlemen, recently you have noticed a proliferation of symbols appearing on the landscape all across the United States that, to the average person, are what those adepts within the secret societies call the profane, that's us folks, should not be there, or really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, what is a huge, gigantic pyramid doing in Memphis, Tennessee? Or in Las Vegas, Nevada? Are cropping up as capstones on the tops of buildings all across America, skyscrapers. Why is it that in parks and in industrial complexes and on the lawns of great corporations, all of a sudden are springing up obelisks? And if you drive through great cities like Atlanta, Georgia, the proliferation of the symbology of the ancient mystery religion of Babylon is staggering. Where has it all come from? What is going on? What is this all about? Did all of a sudden everybody develop a great penchant for Egyptology? I don't think so. In fact, I know so. They have not. It is the manifestation of the public unveiling of the people who belong to the mysteries, the hidden fraternity, what they call the Brotherhood of Man, the Order, the Illuminati, as they watch the culmination of the progression of their work through the centuries. As the New World Order struggles to be born, Wow, did I just say all of that? Where did all of that come from? It comes from years of study, ladies and gentlemen, years and years of research. You see, there was a time that I didn't know anything any more than most of you listening. I didn't know what was happening to this country or to the world. I didn't know who was doing it. I didn't know how they were doing it. When I went to a cemetery and saw that a full one-third of the gravestones were obelisks, capped with a stone version of the eternal flame, I had never paid it a thought. I thought maybe this was in the tombstone maker's showroom, you know, that you could just stroll through and, hey, that looks nice. Let's put that on Uncle John's grave. I didn't understand that it doesn't appear on the grave of just anybody, and it doesn't just appear in the stone maker's showroom. These things, for the most part, are special ordered for the adepts, the priests of the mystery religion, of the brotherhood, of the fellow travelers of the world who are engaged in the, quote, great work, end quote. Tonight I'm going to acquaint you with the identity and the source of most of this stuff. Where does it come from? It comes from the symbology, the mystical language, the esoteric teachings of an ancient religion that has been passed down from father to son and mother to daughter throughout the ages, throughout the millennia, all working toward one common goal, and they are pretty near the completion of that goal, which is to establish what they call a benevolent dictatorship, ruled, so the public will think, by a Messiah, which will be presented to them, to take the public credit and the public ire, but that person will just be a puppet controlled from the shadows by a, quote, council of wise men, end quote, who will administer the most terrible justice, they call it, that the world has ever known, so that their rule will never be challenged. They are in the process of creating a one-world totalitarian socialist state. The regions of the world that you have heard Jackie Petru talk so much about will become the states of this world government. The states as you know them now in countries will disappear. Borders will come down. And that's happening through such things as NAFTA and GATT and a lot of other treaties and international agreements of which you know nothing about. They will control all people and all property, all transactions, all intercourse of every kind, all communications, all knowledge. They will rewrite history. And anyone who challenges their rule, once that rule is set in stone, will just simply disappear from the face of the earth. Communism sprang out of this brotherhood, was invented by the brotherhood. One of the manifestations of this order was the old Knights Templar, which was, ladies and gentlemen, communism. The symbol of the Knights Templar were two knights riding on one horse. You see, when an initiate joined the Templars, he had to give up all worldly possessions to the order. He contributed according to his ability, and he received according to his need. Nothing has changed. The Knights Templars became the world's first international bankers. And that's why the King of France turned against them. He owed them so much money, he couldn't pay it back. So his answer was to destroy them. in the act of attempting to destroy him, them, which he was not able to do, he made them extremely angry, and they went underground and established a system of lodges, which ultimately became the modern fraternal order known as Freemasonry, and many others. It matters not what you call them or what apparent occupation they seem to be engaged in. All of these different so-called fraternal orders are interlocked and are virtually the same order at the highest degrees of initiation. They are what is known as the Illuminati, or the Illumined Ones, the Adepts, the Thousand Points of Light. That wasn't something George Bush or his speechwriters just pulled from out of the ether, ladies and gentlemen. These people don't go about bandying such terms. They have meaning. George Bush was initiated into the order in the crypt, the skull and bones, the Russell Trust at Yale University, when he was suffered a symbolic death, placed in a coffin, naked, with a cord tied around his genitalia, representing the separation from the carnal world, and then was raised with the grip of the lion's paw and given a new name. George Bush spent most of his life as a Central Intelligence Agency operative, was heavily involved in the invasion of the Bay of Pigs and the John F. Kennedy assassination. It was George Herbert Walker Bush who set up the drug smuggling operations into this country when he was president and CEO of Zapata Oil, where the drugs were brought in on shrimp boats and fishing boats to the offshore oil platforms, and from there brought to the mainland of the United States of America by crew boats and helicopters, where they were not subjected to customs or law enforcement inspections of any kind. That was just the beginning. Communism, ladies and gentlemen, has been a vital factor in American politics since the very birth of our republic. In the early days, communism was called Illuminism. They were called Jacobins. It was promoted and propagandized by a secret conspiratorial organization that was named the Order of Illuminati. And this is not conjecture, it is historical fact. It was dedicated professedly to bringing about a new social order, our New Deal. But actually, ladies and gentlemen, its purpose was to overthrow governments throughout the world by revolution and to gain for its bosses worldwide dictatorship, one world, with everyone and everything under the control of the order. And you can sit back and yell conspiracy theorist all you want to. It is the nature of man to conspire. It is the nature of organizations to conspire. The president and the White House just recently acknowledged this as they issued a press release accusing the right wing of conspiring in the press against the president. President William Jefferson Clinton is a conspiracy theorist by his own definition now. The left, socialist liberals who have been calling us conspiracy theorists for all this time are now conspiracy theorists themselves. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, conspiracy is a part of all political processes, all organizations and agendas that have ever existed upon the face of this earth. Many of you conspire with your fellow workers against other fellow workers in order that you get promotions above and ahead of them, or bonuses, or recognition, or the best real estate deal. Conspiracy is a part of life. It is a fact, whether you like it or not. If you have a dictionary, I suggest that you look up the word conspiracy, look up the word theory, and then begin to screw your head on straight and live in the real world. Because this conspiracy that I am talking about tonight is one of the most deeply rooted American political traditions that has ever existed. The members of the organization were as fanatic in their zeal as their followers, present-day communists. This fanaticism was passed down from generation to generation, much like any other religion, for in fact it is a religion practiced behind closed doors in temples without windows. As a result, the Illuminist, Socialist, Communist creed was handed down from father to son, mother to daughter, and it became a tradition in many old American families in much the same manner as the traditional adherence of many of those families to the Masonic Order, or the Presbyterian Church, or Catholicism. Most people belong to the religion that they attend because their parents did. Most people are Democrats because their parents were, and for no other reason. And you all know that. This explains the preponderance of its adherents on the present political scene. There is no difference between the Republican and Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America today. Not one nickel's worth of difference, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't matter who you vote for, they're all operating for the same end. World socialism. Clinton Roosevelt, a relative of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Teddy Roosevelt, wrote a book called Science of Government Founded on Natural Law. It is of high significance in American history because it is the cornerstone of this traditional creed. It was plagiarized from the teachings of Adam Weishaupt, with slight modification to adapt it to the American scene by his ranking American disciple, Roosevelt. It presents the organizational aspects of the conspiracy, and it is the original blueprint of the New Deal. And it's NRA, and I don't mean National Rifle Association. It is, ladies and gentlemen, indeed astonishing that a historical document of its importance and its background history has suffered so complete a blackout as to be practically unknown to contemporaries in whose lives it has played so large a part. Most Americans, unfortunately, do not read anymore. Instead, they watch the big brainwashing tool in the living room. Adam Weishaupt was the scion of a traditionally Catholic Bavarian family that ranked high in the church educational circle. He was trained by the Jesuits. Thanks to the influence of his family in Jesuit circles, Weishaupt was made professor of canon, which is church law, canon law at the Ingolstadt High School at the age of 24 years. Now, in those days, ladies and gentlemen, high school was really university. At the age of 24 years, pretty young, wouldn't you say? In the course of his training, Weishaupt had conceived a paranoid hatred of the faith of his forebears. This led him to the insanely grandiose scheme of destroying the Catholic Church and of taking over the Holy Roman Empire and the world in a one-world absolute dictatorship, which he hoped would be dominated by himself. In fact, he planned that it would be, if he lived that long. But he taught that it might take hundreds of years in order to complete this conquest of the world, and he trained his followers and taught them a religion that even if they knew they would not see the completion of their goal in their lifetime, they would still struggle toward that end, believing that they would come back in another body, reincarnated, and would ultimately see the fruition of their great work, so to speak. On May the 1st, or May Day, of 1776, at the age of 28, Adam Weishaupt founded a secret society for the purpose of carrying out his revolutionary conspiracy. He named it the Order of Perfectibilists. Weishaupt pretended that his objective was a new social order and social security for the people that was to be obtained by perfecting human nature. It was, in fact, a humanist religion. The name of the organization he changed shortly after its founding to the Order of Illuminati, with the implication that its members were enlightened, free, or, quote, liberal, end quote. The term liberal has since then been reserved for those who accept Weishaupt's ideas, which he teaches to his followers will be the culmination of the great plan, after which the happiness of man will be assured, fulfilled. Weishaupt, you see, was a master propagandist and realized that liberal, as applied to his conspiracy, would become accepted because a lie repeated often enough comes to be believed. You see that happening every day. How many times did they repeat the same lie over and over and over again on the communist news networks? How many times did they do it after the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City? For days and for weeks and for months, we heard the same lies over and over and over again until the majority of the sheeple in America believed it. It works. If you tell somebody the same lie over and over and over again, even though they know it is a lie, ultimately they will come to believe it. Or I should say most people will come to believe it, not all. But most are psychologically set up to fall right into it. The extent to which this was accomplished, ladies and gentlemen, is indicated by the fact that the day on which he founded the order, May Day, is celebrated throughout the world by liberals, radicals, revolutionaries, and labor organizations in recognition of the fact that it was the mother of all revolutionary organizations dedicated to class warfare in the modern era. You see, it was his idea to wipe out the ruling class, to wipe out the middle class. In fact, to bring society to one class and one class only, to eliminate the ownership of all property, and much, much more. Adam Weishaupt, in the modern day, was the father of socialism. Now, socialism was not new in his day, and he certainly did not invent it. It was the cause of the fall of the Roman Empire. Although you won't find anyone who tells you that, if you read history, that if you have a brain, you will arrive at that conclusion for yourself. Rome began as a republic, descended into oligarchy. From oligarchy rose dictatorship. The dictator then became God. The God, in order to appease his people, began to hand out favors and benefits. And to pay for these favors and benefits, the empire had to always be expanding into new territory to bring in new materials, new trade items, new slaves. And ultimately, it was the rampant degradation of the human condition brought about, as it always brings it about, socialism that brought down the Roman Empire. You can listen to them tell you that it was many of hundreds of other things, but it was socialism, ladies and gentlemen, that did it. Weishaupt pretended that his objective was a new social order and social security for the people that was to be attained by perfecting human nature. He was a master propagandist. The task that he set for himself was twofold. First, it was destroying the prevailing order. Second, was building up a worldwide dictatorship. The first task required the reduction of the peoples of the world to serfdom by inducing them, ladies and gentlemen, to renounce their allegiances and wealth, or by robbing them of their possessions and usurping power over them. To bring about renunciation of wealth, as in the rest of the conspiracy, Weishaupt unhesitatingly adopted the devices tried and proved by the very religions that he denounced and sought to destroy as rivals for the mastery of human minds. He proclaimed that, and I quote, man is fallen from a condition of liberty, equality, and the state of pure nature. Man is not bad except as he is made so by arbitrary morality. He is bad because religion, the state, and bad examples pervert him, end quote. He therefore required abandonment of all the trapping of civilization, the destruction of religion, of family life and parental discipline, and of all existent governments, and that is what you see going on around you today. And he denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and natural law. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, I want to kill that person over there. Okay, it's a learning experience. You'll learn something, and the guy you kill is going to learn something too. And in the next life, the whole human race will benefit from that. He was a propagator of blathering bullshit, and that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. But so many people fall for this blather, this pablum, because it makes them feel good. It makes them not responsible. It makes all the measly little nitpicking, bad and puny, mean and selfish things that people do okay. And that's why people buy into it. He denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and natural law. Without man having to answer to a higher self and adhering to morals as a guidance of society, then everything becomes subjective, ladies and gentlemen, and is prey to the process of rationalization. The most heinous serial killer who butchered and then ate his victims could rationalize why he was right in doing so. Without the restraints of moral values, anything is okay in a subjective world. That is why our society is disintegrating. Because we are living in that subjective world brought about by liberals who adhere to Adam Weishaupt's teachings. He was a sick man. He created an order of sick people to bring about the condition of a sick world in order to divide and conquer those of a moral nature to bring about his totalitarian socialist world government, the enslavement of the human race. For after everything disintegrates into chaos, his order then will bring forth order. Amazing, isn't it? I'll continue right after this. time, I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're brought to you by Swiss America Trading in Phoenix, the people who specialize in real money. In all of its various forms, precious metals have always been recognized throughout the history of the world as the only real money. And wherever that kind of a hard money system has existed, people have flourished. Trade has flourished. Civilization has reached its highest peak. Whenever paper has taken the place of real money, hard assets, real gold, real silver that has intrinsic worth in and of itself. When paper has replaced those things by masquerading as money, civilizations have declined or disappeared. People have lost their wealth. Wars have flourished and been fought. We are in one of those downward cycles, ladies and gentlemen. Our currency has been debased. Our coinage has been debased. We are not using constitutional, lawful money. In fact, we have no money at all. We have counterfeit paper, which is, in fact, just an indication that somebody owes somebody else something. But it's not a note, as it says. It's not a dollar, as it says. It's not federal, as it says. And there is no reserve. And the quickest way to figure it all out is just lay a $1 bill next to a $100 bill and tell me, why is that one worth 100 and the other one worth 1? Tell me. You cannot. It defies reason. You see, it's a state of mind. But when we've reached the point where we're exchanging pieces of paper, and the only difference between them is the ink upon that paper, for things of value, we are being robbed, ladies and gentlemen. Because those pieces of paper are created out of thin air. As long as they do not have to have something of real substance backing them up, they can be printed and put into circulation at will, as much as they want. It's usually lent into circulation as credit or debt. And then when somebody can't make the payments, real property is confiscated as collateral, and so the nation is robbed of its real wealth, which is transferred into the hands of those who create the credit out of thin air with a bookkeeping entry. Most people don't understand it at all. And that's why I have pledged that at least once or twice a month, I will play Wake Up America by Stephen Jacobson to make sure that everyone at least has a chance to learn the truth about money. If you'd like to get your hands on some real money, and I suggest that you do, not as an investment to make a big killing, but just to protect the assets that you have gained throughout your working life. The value of gold and silver fluctuates as the value of the dollar fluctuates. And I'm talking about the paper so-called dollar, which is really not a dollar. It's counterfeit. As they put more of it in circulation, its value decreases and the value in gold and silver goes up. As less of it is in circulation, the value of it increases in your mind. It's all in your mind. And the minute that that becomes obvious to everyone, the value will disappear. Then the value of gold and silver goes up. So don't ever think for one second even about the fluctuation of the value of gold and silver. It is maintaining a constant level of buying power based upon the confidence in that piece of paper. If the piece of paper falls, the price of gold and silver will go through the roof and you will lose nothing. Nothing. You see, 1 ounce of gold will still buy the same number of loaves of bread today as it did 1,000 years ago. Call 1-800. That you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time. Ask for the free newsletter. Do it now. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, ladies and gentlemen. Don't procrastinate. Really. You need to do this. And you need to do it as quickly as you can. It is important. It's important for you and for your loved ones. 1-800 now. People don't know it because they haven't studied history, and those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. They're not aware that the same occultism, the same New Age babble that is occurring in America today and all over the world, was rampant in the 1930s as Hitler was rising to power. Hitler believed in the same religion as Adam Weishaupt. And he required that all of his officers of the SS go through a secret initiation at a castle placed upon a hill where they would become adepts. Hitler spoke of communing with spirit guides. He said that he had seen the new man and that he was intrepid and cruel. And under this religion, of course, he would be with no moral or ethical guidance whatsoever. Hitler displayed upon his flag and upon the uniforms of his officers and men the swastika, which is the symbol of this ancient religion, has always been, and is the symbol of the object of the exoteric worship of the enlightened, the sun, the eternal flame, the representation of the source of light, illumination, the Illuminati. Isn't that amazing? Many people who grew up in Germany as Hitler was coming to power, and even after he had gained power over Germany and had begun his war on the European continent, have called me and informed me that they see the same things happening in America that happened in Germany during that time. And we hear people telling, you know, on television and on radio about how if they had known, if they had watched the signs and had known what was coming, they could have stopped it. Yet the same thing is happening here today. Not only are they seeing it, but they are accepting it just as the Germans did then, because it sounds good and it feels good to these ninnies who don't want to be responsible for anything. Hitler was a socialist, ladies and gentlemen. Hitler was a liberal. Nazi, doesn't matter how you pronounce it, and there There are many who use both of those different forms, means literally National Socialist German Workers' Party. The battle for Germany in the 1930s was not left against right, ladies and gentlemen. It was socialism against communism. It was the Illuminists against Karl Marx. It's as simple as that. Never mind the fact that Illuminism always deteriorates into communism wherever they take charge. It is just a fact that you cannot descend into socialism without falling away ultimately into the communist experiment. Never mind the fact that it has never worked. But all of these things were the invention of the Illuminists to begin with in order to bring about their socialist world. Socialism is a form of entrapment, enslavement, if you will. Euphemistic though it may be, it is still enslavement. When you live in your father's house and you accept his food and you accept the shelter, the roof over your head, and you sleep in his bed, you must obey his rules. Have you forgotten that? Whether it is your human biological father or whether it is Big Brother the state as your father, the rules are the same. Do you want to revert to a condition of childhood, or do you want to grow up and become an adult and be responsible? That's the difference, is responsibility, accepting the risks of the world in order that you might fulfill yourself and rise to the pinnacle of your ability with responsibility, paying for your mistakes, or whether you will accept the benevolence of Big Brother, who will take care of you, never allowing you to rise to any pinnacle whatsoever, for one must never gain more than any other in a socialist system. Neither will you be allowed to fail or starve yourself to death or anything else. All will be equal. And Big Daddy will make sure that all is equal and that no one raises a ruckus or ruffles a feather or makes a wave. Adam Weishaupt abandoned all the trapping of civilization, the destruction of religion, of family life, and parental discipline, of all existing governments, and he denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and national law. I should say natural law. The stress on natural law as the basis of true science and human organization clearly stamps the Illuminist followers of Weishaupt, including Clinton Roosevelt. And that includes Thomas Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen. Read the Declaration of Independence, and you will see the words of Adam Weishaupt echoed in that document. The real purpose of the secret destiny of America was to give the common man a taste of freedom so as to topple the kings and queens, emperors, emirs, and sultans from their thrones, so that this brotherhood of man could sow the seeds of revolution and bring about their world government. It is no secret in Washington, D.C., I can assure you. And that is why the Washington Monument is an obelisk. And that is why when you walk into the rotunda of the Capitol building and look straight up at the Capitol dome, you will see a huge painting called the Apotheosis of George Washington. It literally means George Washington became God. It displays him in the chariot as Apollo, riding across the heavens in the chariot of the sun. And all around this great painting is depicted the old Roman pantheon of gods. And everywhere I hear this babble about how our founding fathers were all wonderful Christian individuals. If you study the layout of Washington, D.C. from the air, you will see that it has all the symbology of the ancient mystery religion of the Brotherhood, everywhere. Weishaupt alleged that existent organized religions were not true religions. That is, Clinton Roosevelt repeats, the function of true religion is, quote, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and make on earth peace and goodwill to man, end quote. Nothing wrong with that. For if there is someone in your community who is needy, it should be the church and the community that takes care of their fallen member. But not forever, ladies and gentlemen, only enough to get them on their feet and then push them back out into the world to make their own way. For that creates good citizens. Taking people and making them dependent upon the community or upon the church makes another lazy lout who sucks from the breast of the community and thus diminishes the welfare of all. Don't believe it? Look at the Great Society that President Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, created in this country, where he took people who were working, people who had jobs. Poor they may be, they had the same opportunity as everyone else in this country to rise above that. That was in a day when Americans were not ashamed to wash dishes or bus tables or pick strawberries in fields to earn their living and thus maintain their self-respect and dignity. And that was when those same people taught their children manners and morals and ethics. And they said, yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you, and excuse me. Even in the poorest, most miserable community. Because they had self-worth. You will not find that in an inner-city welfare community, no matter the color or religion of the people who are on welfare. And it is wrong of you to display that as the characteristic of the black. Because there are more white people in this country on welfare than black people, and always have been, ladies and gentlemen, since the welfare system began. And that is the truth. Though you may not want to hear the truth, that's all you will ever get on this broadcast, is the truth, the hard truth. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. All of this stuff is designed to divide us and thus put us at each other's throats in order to conquer us. And it works well. As I look around and I see this Hegelian dialectic in action, I can see that it works well. Very well, in fact. This is the voice of freedom. This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're listening to this afternoon is the culmination of many, many years of research by many, many people. People who are not content to sit on a couch and watch the boob tube and go to work and go down to Joe's bar and suck up on Budweiser and then, see about finding a party every night of their life and flittering away the world. Sometime in our life we awakened that something was terribly wrong and we set out to find out what it was. And we were just as shocked as you when we began to discover the answers. And the answers we have, ladies and gentlemen, though you may not wish to hear those answers, as long as you listen to this broadcast, you will. The function of providing social security, Weishaupt alleged, was not served by any religion and could be served only by his new religion, Illuminism. I bet you wondered where that term came from, social security. Wasn't that a con game? How many of you have caught on to the social security scam? You see, when my grandmother was young, she was presented with social security as the answer to poverty in old age. It was to free the elderly. It was to protect them from their own inability to put aside at least 10% of their income during their life so that they could have something to live on in their old age. Socialists understand full well human failings and the temptations that we go through all the time. Nobody saves anymore, do they? You're promised retirement plans and Social Security benefits, and then these so-called old folks' homes, aren't they by and large forgotten, left there to die, and don't most of them spend their time sitting around in front of television sets or in chairs, doing nothing but waiting to die? There used to be a time in this country when the old folks lived at home and thus imparted the culmination of all of their years of experience and learning to the young people. And it allowed the children to see folks grow old and experience the death of their grandfather or grandmother or great-grandfather or great-grandmother. And there was a chance for the children to repay their parents and grandparents by taking care of them in their old age as they took care of us in our infancy. But no more. That wealth of knowledge and wisdom and information is frittered away in old folks' homes where people are shelved, warehoused until they die. Can't wait to get rid of them. It is a travesty. It is a great sadness. It is a terrible sin, in my estimation. How could we allow such things to happen? But we have. And yet we go on as if it's not going to happen to us. How can we be so stupid? It is assured to happen to us if that is what we are doing to our parents and our grandparents. That is what our children are going to do to us, or maybe worse. If Dr. Kevorkian gets his way, there will come a day when 2 weeks after you're housed in the old folks' warehouse, you will mysteriously die. And the children and grandchildren will receive a letter saying that, oh, we are so sorry to tell you, but 2 weeks after admitting your father or grandfather into the old folks' home, he suffered a stroke and passed away. You see, because if we continue upon this track, there will come a day when those who are a drain or burden upon the socialist big brother, big daddy society will be eliminated. I suggest you go watch Soylent Green one more time, ladies and gentlemen. When that movie was made, it was far-fetched. Nobody could conceive of such things happening But today, it's a different story. Not only can it be conceived, not only can you see it coming in the future, but people are talking about doing exactly what you saw in that movie in meetings and societies around the world as one of the solutions to the population and hunger problem. Did you know that? Well, it's true. Weishaupt organized his order along the lines of Jesuit organization. He was a Jesuit priest, and he drew heavily on abandoned sections of the canon, especially on the canon of usury, for his teachings. He was a ruthless politician. He was a master at the art of pretending to be all things to all men and using men's stupidity to destroy them. What makes someone want to join these organizations, these so-called fraternal lodges, where they're told from the beginning they will know nothing about what they're joining until they're initiated? How stupid can you be? Oh, yep, I'm going down to join Murderers Incorporated. Hey, Joe, why you want to do that? Well, it's a fraternal organization amongst these guys, and they just call it that. It's just a joke. Well, how do you know it's just a joke? Well, that's a fraternal organization. It exists for the good of the community. They wouldn't do anything bad. Oh, they wouldn't? How do you know? Well, gee, I really don't know, but I'm sure they wouldn't, because I know a couple of guys who are members. Well, why are you joining an organization, Joe, that you don't know anything about? Well, all of these guys, they take care of each other and look out for each other, and, you know, they get all the contracts in town. Everybody knows that. I mean, you know, my business is going to be a success if I join this lodge. Well, Joe, aren't you worried that you're going to be joining something that you don't know anything about, and you're going to get hooked into this thing, and maybe you might be participating in something you don't want to participate in? Oh, no, they wouldn't do anything like that. So old Joe goes down and gets initiated, and after he's initiated, he thinks he knows everything. He doesn't even know what happened to him. He doesn't understand the symbology or the ritual that he was led through. All he knows is, I got the handshake now, boy. I'm on the gravy train. And generally, that's true. These so-called fraternal organizations appeal to the basest nature of the human animal by promising them that they will become one of the elect few, the illumined ones, that they will learn great secrets, and that they will be taken care of by the brotherhood, and that their success in the community will be assured. That when they go into court, the court will look out after them. And that is generally true also. For the most part, most members of all of these different lodges don't know beans about what it is that they're a part of and never will and don't even want to. And there is no secret, for as the lucky few who do catch on and do understand and do demonstrate their loyalty and obedience will rise up through the degrees to the highest levels, and they will ultimately find the secret that has been held out to them as the carrot since the beginning. And the secret is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is no secret. The secret is simply how to hold out the carrot of the promise of a secret to control and manipulate others. That is the only secret that they have. And all the while that they are taught that they will become God, that man is God. But I have yet to see one of these gods create a universe, or fail to grow old and die. I have yet to see any of them prove that reincarnation is real and that they're going to come back, or that anybody has ever come back from anywhere at any time ever. It is a perversion of the mind. And these people are suckers. If they sit down and really look at what it is that they're doing and listen to what it is that they are pattering, none of it makes any sense or has any reason connected to it whatsoever. Not at all. Adam Weishaupt cautiously avoided shocking the religious among the initiates into the order by pretending to support religion. He taught them that Christ was the first author of Illuminism, through which he sought to lead mankind back to the original liberty and equality that had been lost after the fall of Adam and Eve. And he exhorted his disciples to scorn riches in order to prepare the world for a community of goods that would do away with private property. But to members advanced into the secrets of the order who were pledged to absolute discipline and to yield to our molding hands, he taught them this, and I quote his exact words, "The pretended religion of Christ was nothing else than the work of priests, a fraud and tyranny. Other religions have the same myths of their origin, are equally founded on lying, error, riddle, and fraud. In order to destroy Christianity and all religion, we pretend to have the only true religion. For the end justifies the means, and those we have taken to deliver you and the human race from all religions are nothing but pious frauds," end quote. Which was the admission that he himself, his organization, his religion, and his lodges are nothing but pious frauds. All of these peoples are liars. You watch them lie every day and you wonder how they can do it. It's because they believe that the end justifies the means, and if they have to lie to get what they want, it's okay with them. You see, you don't understand. They have no morals, they have no ethics, and the end justifies the means. Whatever happens in life is just a learning experience. And how you behave in any experience is dictated by your subjective viewpoint, because you are God. Don't you understand that? Yes. Didn't you see Shirley MacLaine's movie? Didn't you get the gist of all of that? Didn't she run across the beach yelling, "I am God!" Shirley, I hate to tell you this, but you're not God. And you have more wrinkles now than you did then. You're shriveling up and soon you're going to die. I hope it's not a painful death. We all die, so I don't feel any guilt or twangs of conscience about saying this. It's true. You are a mortal human being. You are not God. Never were and never will be ever. Sorry to have to pop your bubble, Shirley, but it's the truth. And you can run across the beach all you want to, and each succeeding year you will run slower, and you will get tired faster, and you will have to sit down at some point and rest, because you're getting old, Shirley. And you're having to use more makeup every morning, and it takes longer for you to prepare to go out and meet the world in order to fool them that you are still as beautiful as you were when you were 25. And don't get me wrong, Shirley, we all love you and appreciate all of the wonderful movies that you have made and the entertainment that you have given us, but we do not appreciate being lied to. You are not God. There will never come a day where I will bow down to any altar and worship you. If you are to be worshipped, Shirley MacLaine, it's going to have to be you that does all the worshipping, because, frankly, my dear Scarlet, nobody else gives a damn. And that's the truth. The universe is so great, so complicated, that without even looking at the universe, just look once at the human body and then tell me how you are God. There is a God somewhere, that much is evident. There is no doubt about it to any reasonable person who sees how the universe and how the human body and how nature and the animals and trees and the rocks and forests and streams and rivers all work together, and the planets and the solar system and the galaxies all work together according to immutable laws. And none of this was put together by man, I can assure you. Not Adam Weishaupt, not Shirley MacLaine, not me, not Billy Graham, not William Jefferson Clinton, not any man or woman who has ever lived on this earth has even contributed one iota to any of it. We are lucky that we have arrived at the state where we can live next door to each other without killing each other. And that's the truth of the matter. And we did it by allowing people to succeed on their own effort and holding them responsible for what they do. The creation of the United States of America by the founding fathers, even though they may have had ulterior motives in doing so, was the culmination, the ultimate achievement of all humankind, where man ceased to be a slave and became a king and queen in his and her own right, with the ability to succeed, to rise to the pinnacle of whatever their talents or achievement may have been, and to be responsible for whatever they did in the process. It's called freedom, ladies and gentlemen. It is what all Americans have in common. It is the only thing that we need be concerned with in this country, freedom with responsibility. And you don't get freedom by making more and more laws, by throwing more and more people in prison for doing nothing to anybody, by creating victimless crimes, by controlling, by saying you can say this and you can say that, but you over there, you can't say that. You can travel and you can travel, but you can't travel. By closing off the highway and stopping every car and making people get out and rumbling through their possessions, that's not freedom. By throwing a woman who has the guts and exercises her freedom of speech to tell the president that he sucks in jail. He does suck. Who do they think they were kidding? Did they think by throwing this woman in jail that nobody would ever think ever again that the president sucks? He sucks. He's a liberal, a communist. He's destroying this country. And all of his pretending to be a conservative Republican now, after he found out that nobody was going for all of that communist crap he was shoving down our throats, isn't changing anything. Is it? Is it, ladies and gentlemen? These people believe that Jesus Christ was a communist and that's what he taught. Though I read all of his words, I don't hear that. And I'm not telling you you have to be a Christian or anything else. You see, I really believe in freedom. I really believe in the founding principles and ideals of this nation. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I believe so much in it, I'm willing to die for these principles and ideals. I believe you have a right to worship the God of your choice at the altar of your choice. I don't care who or what it is, as long as you do not hurt the property or person of any other human being. That's what I believe. Those of you who disagree with that, you're not Americans. And that's the truth. You certainly don't believe in the freedom of religion or freedom of speech, and that's the truth. And you don't seem to understand that when you take away the right of someone else to practice what you yourself covet, you have also taken it away from you. The moment someone rises to power who disagrees with you. The only way that we can protect ourselves is to protect all of us against the things that we do not want to happen to us. Whether we agree with them or not, whether we like them or not, it makes no difference. It matters little in the long run. For if I say to Joe, Joe cannot worship the religion that he wishes, the God that he wishes, at the altar that he wishes, I have also said to myself, uh-oh. You see, if Joe gets a bunch of people with him and he rises to power, Joe is going to turn around and do the same thing to me, and he will justify it by the fact that I did it to him. That's the true danger of democracies, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why our founders gave us a republic. A constitutional republic that protects the rights of individuals, not the rights of the group. You better watch out when the group becomes more important than the individual, because each and every one of you, though you may belong to the group, are individuals, and if you become unpopular, are politically incorrect, or if you utter one word that is disagreeable, you become forfeit and can be sacrificed by the group for the good of the whole. The only way, ladies and gentlemen, to protect the good of the whole was as our forefathers saw it, was to protect the rights of the individual. That guaranteed the health of the whole. When you put the health of the whole over the health of the rights of the individual, you have destroyed everything. You've made everything forfeit. In fact, you have created a God that doesn't even exist except in your minds or on a piece of paper. It's called government. When humanity exists to serve government, it is the biggest, saddest irony that man is then bowing to a God that he created. Oh, you see, in the only instance that man really can be God, in the creation of a government to protect the rights of man and to serve man, if man turns the tables on himself and makes the government his God, he has destroyed himself in a very sick, perverse, and disagreeable manner. Weishaupt was a shrewd student of religion, ladies and gentlemen, and of canon law, which, as I said before, is religious law. He saw in the abandoned sections of the canon law on usury a diabolic device for robbing nations and enslaving them. I've been trying to teach you this for years. This section had been abandoned because it had been found by the church not only impractical, but actually dangerous, except possibly in church orders, where asceticism and devotion are the mainsprings and motives of existence. You see, the church was almost enslaved by the Knights Templars, who became the world's first international bankers. And so they learned their lesson the hard way. The rank and file of mankind engage in a struggle for existence and necessarily must be endowed with a strong sense of possession as an aid in the acquisition of material things essential for survival in the world at large. We all know that. Canon law decreed that there must be production for use and not for profit, and that making a profit in a business transaction is the sin and crime of usury. Usury was a cardinal sin and a capital offense under the canon. As a result of this canon on usury, the industry, commerce, and civilization of the Roman Empire disintegrated, and civilization and culture vanished in a flood of socialism. You see, only three vocations became open to mankind. You could join the orders of the church, you could earn by the sweat of the brow as a laborer, or the more cunning, ruthless, and violent individuals in the role of knight posed as protectors of labor or labor leaders while actually enslaving the workers. And the more ruthless and violent the knight, the more serfs he enthralled, the more people he robbed, the wealthier and more powerful he became, all in the guise of protecting his victims and giving them security. That's socialism. Oh, you work my fields. You serve in my army. You wait on my tables. You lick my boots, and I will take care of you and make sure that you always have that work to do, and I will throw you the crumbs from my table. That's socialism. It's also feudalism. Over under the world socialism that's coming, they intend to do away with the feudal lords. There will only be one lord, the world's lord. And there will only be one serf, the world's serf. And you're it. The more powerful and ruthless vandals, in no wise hampered by inhibitions imposed by the teachings of the church, in turn vanquished the knights who were handicapped. And both elements preyed on the church itself. A man could hold his possessions or his womenfolk, and a church, monastery, or convent could hold their property and wealth only so long as they were strong enough to fight for them, or able to muster others to their defense, or if they had enough serfs to muster into an army to fight for them. It meant rule by labor and violence, and an end to law and order. This became the age of darkness that is known as the medieval times, or medievalism. It does reflect some credit, ladies and gentlemen, on the church that it recognized in the communism of canon law and usury the root of the evils of medievalism, and that it abandoned that section, abandoned it, threw it out, understood what it had brought them. Took a lot of time for it to happen. A lot of people died and lived in misery and disease. But it did come about. And that was the preparation for the Renaissance, for law and order, and for the beginning of the rise of human liberty, accomplishment. Where people were allowed to excel and invent and discover and learn and write magnificent books. Thank you. The hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets, real money as described in the Constitution for the United States of America and in the law. Most people do not know that a piece of paper cannot be a dollar, for a dollar is nothing but a unit of measurement of a specific weight and measurement of purity of silver coin or the equivalent value in gold coin. So when you take out one of those Federal Reserve notes that's not federal and is not a note and it says a dollar and it's not a dollar, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? I mean, how stupid can we be? And why are we being so stupid? It's okay to be ignorant, folks, but not stupid. You see, if you're ignorant, that just means you don't have the knowledge. You can learn, you can make up for that, but when you have the knowledge and you still do the same things over and over again, that's stupidity, and there is nothing that can be done for that. It's caused by a lack of brains or guts. Which is it in your situation? Call Swiss America Trading. Ask them about real money. Ask them for a free copy of the current newsletter. Tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time. And ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. And it doesn't cost a fortune, ladies and gentlemen. You can purchase one silver dollar or one gold coin, a small gold coin, a $5 gold piece that you can barely see but is heavier than you can even imagine, because gold is heavy. And once you feel it, you know it's gold because it has a gold feel. And if you've never felt it, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Once you've held real money in your hand, you can never be fooled again by that phony stuff in your pocket. That's what's destroying this country. That's the method that the communists have devised to eliminate the middle class as one of the precepts of the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Most of the planks on the Communist Manifesto have been fulfilled in this country already. If you don't believe it, get a copy and read it. You can usually find a copy in any local library. If you can't, call Bill Clinton. I'm sure he's got one on his desk. He'll send you a copy. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Do it now, ladies and gentlemen. You know how you are. You're just like me and everybody else. Until we wake up, you tend to procrastinate. Don't do it anymore. We're on the edge of a cliff, and pretty soon we'll be falling off that cliff if we don't do something about it. So get off your lazy rear and start now. That's why Bill Clinton in a White House memo called me the most dangerous radio host in America, and Rush Limbaugh read it on the air to absolve himself of all guilt with the liberal establishment. And you call him your leader? Wake up, America. You've been had. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. And I'm William Cooper. Professor Weishaupt knew the destructive force and the malevolent enslaving power inherent in the communist nature of the canon on usury, and he saw in it a weapon with which to impoverish and enslave mankind and gained dominion over the world, and he taught it to his followers. He embraced this dross of the church that he planned to destroy and made it the basis of his conspiracy. This he represented, ladies and gentlemen, as a new social order, new world order, new deal, new economic order. I don't care what you call it, great society. It's all the same. He also pretended that he could root out possessiveness from human nature and thereby perfect it. This is the fundamental fallacy of communism, even when it is sincerely tried, as has been revealed by numerous experiments during the 19th century. Experiments in communism were rampant. The hippies went back to it in communes during the 60s and early 70s. That didn't work either. Where are they now? They're on Wall Street making a killing. Every one of them, except one that I know. For the purpose of stealthily robbing peoples of their wealth when they refuse to voluntarily renounce it, Weishaupt conceived of devices for confiscating all wealth by taxation. He advocated a progressive income tax and an even more confiscatory inheritance tax that would bar transmission of wealth and concentrate it in the hands of himself as ruler or in his organization. He knew that he was never going to see the culmination of this in his lifetime, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Weishaupt was no fool. He thought that it would take centuries to realize his goal. He urged the abolition of private property in any form, government ownership of industry, banking, and commerce, the complete regimentation and enslavement of labor in a discipline that required absolute submission of wealth, body, and soul. And since as an educator, he realized the value of education in gaining control of the minds of people, which means also control of their wealth and fortunes, and its value in gaining dominance by brainwashing, he required government control of education. And you all have seen what has happened in this country because of it. His plan is coming to fruition. We have idiots graduating from high school who can't read their diploma. And now we're going on to this pigeonholing of people into the outcome-based education. And schools that teach people where to work and how to work to do certain jobs, and that's going to be what they do all their life, with no hope of ever doing anything else. A clear concept of his conspiracy can be had if it is borne in mind that Weishaupt's government in reality meant himself as dictator. When I say himself, I'm talking about his organization, the Illuminati. Professor Weishaupt was versed in church lore. He knew well the effectiveness of espionage, torture, terrorism, and of savagery as devices for enforcing the subjugation and discipline of mankind or manipulating their thoughts. He established within his order for that purpose a Gestapo-type terrorist and murderous espionage agency, which he called the Insinuating Brothers. They were to ensure that there would be no leak in the secrets of the conspirators under threat of torture and vindictive persecution, and to aid in the subjection of the citizenry. It got its first extensive workout, ladies and gentlemen, the French Reign of Terror. Have you studied the French Revolution, which was brought about by the Illuminists, the Illuminati? Every totalitarian movement that has carried on the conspiracy since then adopted this device of Weishaupt's. The terrorist espionage corps is symbolized in the insignia of the Order of Illuminati by the all-seeing eye, mounted up on a pyramid that represents the secrets of the order. It is this insignia, strangely enough, that appears on the Great Seal of the United States of America, placed there by Weishaupt's agents in the American colonies. Didn't you wonder why there was a pyramid on the dollar bill? What do we care about pyramids, about Egyptology? Why do we have a pyramid on our dollar bill? And why is it capped with an all-seeing eye? Why does it have exactly 13 courses? What does all this represent? Most of you have never asked yourself that question. What does Novus Ordo Seclorum mean? Why, ladies and gentlemen, it means New World Order. That's what it means. Annuit Septis, Novus Ordo Seclorum, literally means, ladies and gentlemen, that they can see the culmination of their enterprise, that the great architect of the universe smiles upon their work. I could put it many other ways. Announcing the birth of the New World Order is one meaning. Sometimes I enjoy the research that brings forth all of this knowledge, but sometimes I do not enjoy giving it to you because I know you don't want to hear it. If you wanted to hear it, you'd find it for yourself, wouldn't you? The Weishaupt dictated Illuminist code enshrines lying, deceit, treachery, treason, brutality, violence, torture, and murder. Alfred P. Murrah Federal Buildings, World Trade Centers, Vicky Weavers, Branch Davidians as sources of strength, vis-a-vis the stupid dilettante folks who accept civilization, culture, ethics, morality, and religion as their code. He uses these things to bring these people who appreciate civilization, culture, ethics, morality, and religion as their code to their knees to beg for more control so that their freedom can be taken away from them in exchange for security against Alfred P. Murrah Federal Buildings in Oklahoma City, World Trade Center buildings in New York City, Waco massacres in Texas, and all of the other machinations of this vile organization that is destroying the United States of America and stripping your freedom from you as you stand there and watch, begging them to take more. It is amazing to me to watch all of this happening and try as I might to stop it and to wake you up, see that it just continues as you continue to sleep. It can't happen in America. This can't happen to me. This couldn't possibly be right. You're a conspiracy theorist. Isn't that right? And you say it from a position of complete ignorance, never having done the research or a lick of study on the subject in your life. And you watch the agents of this conspiracy tell you what to say and echo on the boob tube in your living room, and like dutiful puppets, that's exactly what you do. How many of you, after the Waco massacre, echoed to your friends and neighbors, they were just a bunch of religious fanatics, they deserved what they got in America, the land of the free and the land of the brave, the land where the rights of the individual triumph above all, in order to protect the whole, all of us, from tyranny? Well, they must have done something wrong, or they wouldn't have done what they did. I wonder what you will say when it happens to you. And if you continue the way you are going, it is guaranteed to happen to you. Weishaupt taught that savagery would serve to intimidate, subjugate, and terrorize their adversaries, and thereby serve to speed the attainment of the conspirators' goal, which is the subjugation and enslavement of the more decent elements of mankind, and the concentration of complete and total power in the hands of the Illuminati. Weishaupt taught that human life is worthless and meaningless except as a device to further his conspiracy. Can you imagine that? A human being believing that human life is insignificant, is of no import, no consequence whatsoever. His followers have been instructed to lie without scruples, to deceive and betray without hesitancy, and they do it every day, and you watch them do it every day. Many of them you have voted into office. Others you work for or follow in some manner. Some are standing at the pulpits of your churches. They always have been enjoined to deny their adherence to the conspiracy, to deny its illuminist, socialist, communist character when exposed, and to regularly attack and vilify their accusers and pose as injured parties whose civil rights were violated because we pinned them with the truth. You see, Weishaupt and his associates set the example for the conspirators by hiding their criminal activities behind aliases, a custom that still prevails among these people. The destruction of existing governments, all existing governments, Weishaupt planned to obtain through any device that would serve to weaken and destroy them. Internally, within the nations, the recommended devices are spending the nation into bankruptcy and inflation. Class warfare, especially between labor and capital and between the races, revolution and civil war. The destruction wrought between nations by economic and physical warfare, however, was recommended by Weishaupt as most effective in leveling down all nations to a common denominator of misery that would make them all ready prey for a dictator and facilitate the attainment of the goal of the conspirators. One world, united in serfdom under one dictator. And you see the signs of this everywhere. They are preparing you for it. AT&T, one world, one card. Naturally, the attainment of this ultimate goal, ladies and gentlemen, required the elimination of patriotism and the fostering of so-called internationalism. And that's why patriotism has become a dirty word in America. That's why patriots and militias are attacked viciously, even though they have always been the first line of defense and the first to stand up and die in defense of freedom for the American people throughout the history of this country. And yet you parrot the words of your Illuminati masters and defame and defile and slander and libel your neighbors who understand what is happening and are ready to stand once again on the front line of defense of freedom for those of you who are not even worthy of these people who would give such a noble sacrifice. And that is the truth. Why should they die for you when you are ready and willing to give it all up and when you are ready to sell them down the river? Because you heard some slimy politician who has lied all of his life and continues to lie to you and is in the process of subjugating this nation to slavery through unconstitutional and treasonous legislation because you heard him say so. You are puppets. When they pull the strings, you dance to the tune that they play and you parrot what they say, because you are afraid that if you don't, you won't get your benefits. Isn't that the truth also? Socialism is for weaklings. Socialism is for parasites. Socialism is for those who would steal the sweat off the brow of those who legitimately earn what they have. And that also is the truth. How will they support this great world of socialism? They will exploit those who are able to produce and work. And they will take all of the production from these people and give to those who cannot, or will not, or won't. Because in doing so, they build their base of power. For those who are dependent upon Big Daddy will never allow Big Daddy to come falling down. They must support their source of sustenance, and that is where the power of socialism comes from. From the basest defects of the human animal comes the power of socialism. The desire in most people to not be responsible, to not work, to not produce, but to become, once again, children. And to have the state become their daddy. That is the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. This 2 hours has gone by much too quickly, for I have so much more to tell you, but that will have to wait for another day. I hope that you are now illumined. Have I turned on any lights? Good night. God bless each and every single one of you, and may God save this republic. I'm William Cooper. Mysticism for the answers, ladies and gentlemen. Life is for living. There is no great secret.